All right. So, I haven't been like online in the last like 2 days. So I'm oblivious to all current events.
Well, I don't pay attention to the news, so I'm usually pretty oblivious as well.
Good. So we'll be pretty 1-to-1 here.
Yes. The only thing, there was something come out today that Nintendo has cut their Wii U sales predictions.
Yeah, that I actually just read that as I woke up. And that's yeah, there's a lot of things to say about that. Is this the show?
No, not yet. I've got some
No, not yet.
preparations to do before we get into it.
Sure. Yeah, I've got your iCloud document open.
All right, cool.
This is very like comprehensive show notes here.
Yeah, there's still lots of things on there that I didn't add because I pretty much I did all of this last night. It's just too hot to do
Right.
anything all
Right.
this week. So yeah, I wanted to spend all week just researching, but
That's right. It's like summertime there for you, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's the right at the peak of summer at the moment. So December is usually fairly mild for us, but January, February, that's when it gets really hot.
Wow, okay. Yeah, because it's like freezing cold here.
Yeah, oh, I'd love to be there.
Yeah, it's been like last night it got down to like 32, and throughout the day it's been like 38, low 40s maybe at the high, but
Actually, it's funny for like to say, oh, it's been low 40s when over here 40 degrees is that's fucking hot, that is. It's like the exact opposite.
Yeah, well, like I lived in the South, and it's funny how the temperature can be like similar to what I'm used to in Washington, but because of the sort of the atmospheric differences, it feels very different.
Yeah. Okay. So your last name, that's Saichi. I've got that right?
Yes,
Awesome.
you've got that right.
Yep. And at the bottom, my little outro spiel. Is there anything on there that you'd like to add to that? Because I've
No, that looks good. It says you can follow Zach on Twitter and app.net. I'm actually the same. My username is the same on app.net.
Okay, cool.
I don't use app.net, but
Yeah, I don't use it either, but I put it in there if people want the option of talking to me on app.net.
Sure.
Always happy to
Yeah, I
talk.
mean, I do get a notification if someone like directly contacts me on there, so I guess it's worth throwing out there, I suppose.
Yeah, because I always figured like if someone wants to contact me, but you know that they want to do so publicly and they want more than 140 characters, they have that option.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Okay, well, I think that's the outro good to go. So where I thought I'd go with this is sort of talk about like what gaming is at the moment, like all the sort of the hardware that's out at the moment, and then sort
Sure.
of lead into where we think it's going to go in the future. I mean, I've got a whole heap of questions down there.
Sure.
And then I'd also like to talk about like how games themselves might change over time. And basically what I want to talk about there is that, you know, because we get all getting all these younger and younger people that are be they're growing up as gamers, and hopefully you will get a more diverse crowd. One that isn't just full of you know, just a bunch of swearing 12-year-olds and Xbox Live and that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah, all the kids who crowd like World of Warcraft from Texas, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I have lots and lots of thoughts there. I'll probably do most of my thinking aloud.
Please write us on iTunes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And that'd be the big thing is just like, I don't know. I try not to take myself too seriously, but like just seriously enough. Mm. And I don't know. It seems to kind of work. You know, going between tweeting something very, very serious to saying, hey, I'm listening to Miley Cyrus. Which, you know, I get followers, I lose followers, but it doesn't, I don't let it, you know, bother me anymore. It used to really bother me, but I've come to this like level of acceptance where, I don't know, I try to do things my own way, and I am what I am.
Yeah. I don't think it's ever bothered me how many followers I've had. I'm pretty sure I've never had more than 50.
Yeah, that's right. You have like I think I don't know. I sometimes go and I look how many followers people have because yeah. I'm weird and I think everyone is sort of slightly stalkerish on Twitter. But like yeah, you have like 40 followers.
Yeah, it's 45 at the moment. So that's possibly the most that I've ever had.
So that kind of blows my mind that you've been kind of as active as you have been in the community, but you know only that amount of followers. And I don't mean that as a bad thing. It's just always, it's always interesting to me. Like I've always, my opinion has always been, it doesn't really matter how many followers you have. It's kind of like who follows you and who you engage with that's important.
Yeah.
And you know what kind of value you get out of that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, probably if I hadn't culled so many spammers from my follower list, I'd probably have more. But I sort of routinely go through it and seek them out and just boot the ones that I don't want following me.
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit I don't do any of that anymore. I used to. I used to be very vigilant about, you know, I bet if I were to go through and cut all the spammers, I'd probably go down like 300 or 400 followers immediately. Like, it's probably that many. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think reporting them for spam is probably always a good idea anyway, because it just helps out the community.
Oh, well, the ones that are like dead obvious, like the ones where, you know, you'll get sent like a link at random and then you look at their profile and they're not even following you. Mm. And they've only tweeted like 5 times and all of them are these random links that go somewhere, God knows where.
Yeah.
I will immediately report that for spam. Yeah. Like if it crosses that line, then yeah. But if it's just like a some random, you know, company's bot following me, I don't really care too much.
Mm. Yeah, the best ones are when it's their very first tweet and they send it to you and you're like, you're so blocked.
Yeah, immediately.
So I wonder how long it takes Twitter to delete the accounts after you've reported them.
Well, I think they have a certain like threshold that they need to have. I have no idea how it works, but I'm guessing that they have like, you know, a certain amount of people need to report it for spam. Mm. And then they probably go in one by one and investigate. I doubt it's like automated. Well, I guess it could be. I mean, there's certain accounts that are just so dead obvious to be spam accounts that they might have something that can kind of just go in and look and kill those accounts.
Yeah, and there'd have to be some sort of you know, process to go through, because like report for spam button, that's just ripe for abuse. If you just suddenly decide that you don't like someone on Twitter, you can get everyone together and like everyone reporting for spam, and then we'll get them booted from Twitter.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's you know, it's like anything. I mean, like actually, that comes up in video games. People constantly lie about each other.
Yeah.
You know, they get angry that, you know, they lost, or you know, maybe. Actually, my wife goes through this a bit because she plays World of Warcraft quite a bit. You know, people get really stalkerish and weird, and they report you to Blizzard and just crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's online. It's It's very strange, the online gaming thing. That's kind of why I don't go anywhere near it, because I'm like,
Oh, no, and I don't either. Yeah. Like, Federico Vittici talked about this recently on The Prompt, but he has, like, no interest in online gaming.
Mm.
Not for any particular reason other than it's just... There's something weird inherently in like, just going online and you know, playing with a bunch of strangers, you know?
Yeah.
People that you don't know at all. I don't know. Like, I can kind of see it both ways, because there's a competitive aspect to it where, you know, you kind of want to be, like, there's probably people out there who want to be, like, the best player in the world, right?
Yeah.
And so there's value in that kind of, like... You know, playing with random strangers experience. But I think for a lot of us, it's more, I don't know, like, I've always been more into really great single player games, the games that focus in on, you know, storyline. And if they have a multiplayer mode, I would much rather just sort of play that with my family or my friends.
Yeah, local multiplayer rather than online.
Yeah, but yet, you know, you look at where things are kind of going and you basically have... Like, everything is heading toward playing online with strangers. I mean, there's a lot of games that absolutely, like, require you to be online to even play them. And that's... Things are getting a little bit weird there.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's a good thread to tackle when we start talking about the future of gaming. It's something that I hadn't considered is online play, like multiplayer stuff, where that's...
Yeah, going. No, that's... Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting looking at, like, the different company strategies, too, because, you know, like, Nintendo doesn't do online very well, but they have cultural reasons for why they don't, you know? Like, it's, on one hand, it's like they haven't really done enough of it, and they kind of don't get it, but at the same time, they genuinely, you know, they aim their products at families, and they really do care about, you know, whether or not your kid is just going online and you know, talking smack to someone, you know, or getting, you know, smack talked to, you know, by someone else, and maybe Texas. I always pick on Texas or the South, mainly because I lived in Louisiana for a bit, but. Oh, you know what? I actually, another thing we could talk about, yeah. I don't know if you know if this is related at all, but like, I recently got an Ouya.
Oh, okay, yeah. I kept thinking about that, but I'm like, no, do I want to talk about that or not? Because I don't have anything to say about it personally.
Yeah, no, I don't think I have anything to say about it other than, like, it's neat. I mean... I like held off on it for the longest time because it just kind of looked like a, you know, random thing with Android on it and who knows how good it is and whatever. But I finally kind of decided, like, well, but emulators are like so well supported on Android.
Yeah.
That it's kind of a no-brainer if you're really into that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's an emulation box, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, like, I haven't installed any of the like the games that you're supposed to install. I've only installed, you know, I have a PlayStation emulator, an original Nintendo emulator, and all that fun stuff, and it seems to run like everything I throw at it pretty damn well. And that maps really well to that controller. The controller itself is not very good, but for a little emulation box for $99, it's, you know, it's not terrible.
Okay, well, that's all right then. Yeah, because this one fun thing that with games like the old stuff just kind of gets left behind. Eventually you get to this point where it's like, well, nothing can play this anymore. So you're reliant on emulators to be able to play old games, and you're having to, you know, because the companies that made them are either not around anymore, they just don't want to support it. So you have to go elsewhere to be able to do that. It's kind of a shame.
It is. Yeah, well, and then you have, like, these other issues that are that surround that that don't get talked about very much. Like, something I'm sort of anal or kind of crazy about is if I'm going to be playing, like, an old game, I really want it to be as close to the original presentation as possible. Yeah. So, like, even when games get re-released or whatever, quite often little tiny changes will get made, or, you know, maybe it's got some kind of filter running over the top so that it smooths out the graphics or whatever. And I've always been kind of against that. Like, if I'm going to play an original PlayStation game, I kind of want it to be in its original, like, sort of totally pixelated, not anti-aliased glory.
Yeah.
So I'll put it, like, if I'm going to do that on a TV or something, I'll put it on, like, the crappiest TV I own because I want to replicate that experience. Well, because it doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right if you throw it up stretched onto a, you know, 42-inch 1080p monitor.
No, it's just really bad there.
It looks terrible, but, like, you see that's how, like, most people tend to play old games now is they'll just do that and they think it's better. I don't know. It's something I think about. It's sort of like preservation of old films or old music or really any kind of media. Mm. It kind of bugs me when I know that, you know, the vast majority of people playing old games are maybe playing them on emulators that do all this crazy upscaling, and that's just not the original experience at all. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, there's something lost there.
That I play, and there's actually two communities supporting it, and one is that, okay, we're going to update the game for modern systems, but we're not going to change anything about it. And then the other community is we're going to update all the textures so it's all HD resolution and everything. And so the one on the left, they're going, well, you can take the game out of 1995, but you can't take the 1995 out of the game. That's the tagline. <Yeah. one.
laughs> That's respectable. Yeah, I don't know. I just most people I talk to about that think I'm crazy. Like, you know, they're just like, well, no, if I'm playing an emulator, I just let it smooth out the textures or whatever. It looks a little bit better. Mm. And I'm just like, are you crazy? It doesn't really look any better. It just, you know, it looks all blurred.
Yeah.
It's not better.
And with Halo Anniversary, when they did that, because what they did was they just sort of bolted on a new graphics engine onto it, so that it's still using the original engine for all the gameplay stuff, but you can switch at will between the original game and then all the HD textures. And I think that's a really respectful way to do it, because you get that experience of playing the game on a modern system with a modern look, but it still has the original gameplay, and you can switch it at any time to say, okay, well, what's the historical perspective on this? What did this level look like back in the day?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good approach. Yeah, I mean, like, there's a Final Fantasy X remake coming out soon for Vita and PlayStation 3, and they've gone through and updated it all to HD and whatever, and I'm not sure if it includes the original version or not. I don't think it does. But there's been a fair bit of controversy around it because they've really changed certain aspects of the look of the game. Mm. And there's a lot of fans are very kind of upset about that. Mm. I went through a similar thing when they did the update to the original Metal Gear Solid for the PlayStation. They did a version for GameCube called the Twin Snakes, where they not only went in and changed, like, the textures and all that, but they actually went in and changed some of the voice acting. They changed, they changed some of the actors' voices, and some of the cutscenes were just completely different.
Yeah,
and in some cases they were pretty good. In other cases they were kind of bad, but overall it just wasn't the same game. And it you know, at the time it got rave reviews. People said it was, you know, the best version of Metal Gear. And that during that whole time, I was just like, it's still not the game that came out in 1998. Mm. Like, it's not the same experience. And it felt sort of wrong to me. I don't know.
Yeah, because there's sort of this limit on how much you can change before it's something totally different.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. It's, you know, they had gone in and like over-stylized, like they brought in a different director for the video sequences.
Yeah.
And so they just carried a totally different tone. not a bad tone. It was just completely different from the original, and maybe arguably like a little less serious. Like they took some of the violence and stuff and brought it over the top, and added more jokes. So it was almost it almost became like a little bit of a like wink, wink, nudge, nudge at the original, like a self parody. And that, I don't know, that just sort of bothered me because Metal Gear Solid was a, you know, fairly serious game, and it did do the winking at the player or whatever, but it was all very classy, you know. But yeah, don't get me talking about Metal Gear Solid because it's probably my favorite game of all time, and I'll just go on forever and ever.
is there anything else you want to go over before we get into it?
No, I'm happy to dive in.